When we turn to the scripture, one of the things that we find is the Apostle Paul was an extremely determined individual when it came to his Christian life. Over and over again, there are passages that talk about the Apostle Paul's determination. Notice four of them, if you will. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he told them, "For I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Paul had a desire to go to Rome and to have fruit among those particular individuals. When he wrote to the church at Corinth, he told them that the grace of God empowered him to the point that he labored more abundantly than they all. Writing to the church at Philippi, he said that I am set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Regardless of who came against him, regardless of how big the enemy seemed to be, he was ready to stand in defense of the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. When he came to the end of his life, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul was a determined man. When we turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, we find another passage that talks about this determination of the Apostle Paul. It's a very familiar text. Notice what he says. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Tonight we're going to be focusing upon one word in that particular text. It's that little word, press. "I press toward the mark," he said. Let's define the term for just a minute. The term is defined as to pursue. Another definition of the term is to seek eagerly and earnestly. Another definition is to run after. Still another definition said run swiftly to reach the goal. This summer, the Olympics are going to be coming, and you and I are going to be turning on our television sets, and we're going to be watching all kinds of individuals participate in those summer sports. One of those sports is what we refer to as the sprint. Take, for instance, the 100-meter sprint. There are about eight individuals who are lined up, one against another. All of them who believe they are the fastest in the world, do they not? The gun goes off and those individuals take off. It's amazing to me how fast their legs are running. And they run that 100 meters, they get almost to the line, and two of them are just as close as they possibly can be. And what do? They press toward the mark, do they not? Those individuals stretch forth their chest and they push just as hard as they can in order to be the one who crosses that finish line first. My friends, that's the picture that the Apostle Paul is using when he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize. I'm putting forth every ounce of my being. I'm stretching myself just as hard as I possibly can in order to cross that finish line. I press." He says, let's take that word and let's make some application of it in various ways to our Christian lives in order to encourage us to live as God desires for us to live. Point number one, you and I need to press on, don't we? Every one of us have been living our lives for a long time and we have crossed a lot of milestones, haven't we? We've graduated from high school. We've graduated from college. We're individuals who have grown into maturity. We're individuals who put on Christ maybe at a very early age. And since that time, we have been engaged in a lot of activities. Maybe we've been teachers. Maybe we've assumed roles of authority such as deacons or elders. Maybe some individuals have even become preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe individuals are leaders of particular groups of people. Sometimes a lady stands forth and she becomes a leader of the ladies' group. Maybe she teaches a ladies' class. She leads the ladies' day. All of us have grown up and we've become very mature individuals in Christ. But folks, just because we're mature, just because we are where we are, does not mean that you and I stop. You and I need to continue to press on as members of the body of Christ. When I think about pressing on, there are several thoughts that come to mind. Number one, If we're going to press on, you and I need to have a positive mindset, don't we? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My friends, the very moment we become negative, the very moment we develop that defeatist attitude, the very moment that you and I begin to say we can't do this and we can't do that, we cease moving forward in our lives. Every one of us need to be telling ourselves, yes, we can. I know we can. And the reason we can is because we have a wonderful, powerful, loving God who is behind us. Press on with a positive mindset. Secondly, when you and I talk about pressing on, we're talking about a commitment to the future, are we not? Folks, there is absolutely nothing that any of us can do to go back and change the past. We are where we are at this very present point, aren't we? And from this point on, we've got to press forward. And the question that we need to be asking ourselves is this: where do we want to go? Paul knew where he was going. I press toward the mark for what? For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward heaven. I'm pressing toward that eternal reward. I know exactly where I'm going. Folks, we as a congregation need to know exactly where we're going. And we need to look toward the future and press toward those things. In conjunction with that is this: there is no looking back. Jesus said in Luke 9 verse 62, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, it's not about looking back. When we look back, it's upon things that oftentimes we don't need to be looking back on, isn't it? We find an example in Lot's wife. Here was a woman escaping from a city that was being destroyed, known as Sodom. There was fire, hail, and brimstone firing, raining down upon that city. And she was not to look back. And the first thing she did is stop her forward progress, look back, and became a pillar of salt, didn't she? Folks, looking back does no one any good whatsoever. We do not look back. And lastly, you and I have got to put in our energy and our efforts to the utmost as we press forward, don't we? We've looked at this passage before, Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. I want you to look at that word heartily. It's got the word heart in there, does it not? Do it heartily. In other words, do it with all your heart. Do it with every bit of courage and every bit of energy that you can possibly muster. Folks, as we look to the future, never looking back, as we press on in all that we're going to do, we're going to do it with every fiber of our being. I read a book the other day. It was entitled 10%. And I thought, that's an interesting book. I know what you're thinking. Oh, the preacher wants us to give 10%. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What it said is this: those individuals who give 10% more than anybody else will rise above the entire majority of people. Folks, it's not a matter of doing a whole lot more. Just doing more than other people are willing to do. 1%, 2%, if we do 10% better than anybody else, then guess what? We are definitely going to move forward in all that we accomplish. Point number one, press on. Notice the next point, though. Sometimes you and I have to press against, don't we? Sometimes there are trials and there are difficulties and there are winds and there are mountains, and there are struggles that every one of us come against, don't we? You like my picture? Guess what that little dog's doing? That little dog is pressing against, is he not? I want you to notice his feet. He's walking forward. He's not going backwards. Folks, and that's what all of us need to do. Sometimes there's going to be the strong headwinds. Sometimes there's going to be a crowd of individuals coming against us this way, all telling us to turn around, to go back, don't go forward. And folks, what do we have to do? We must press against all that comes our way, don't we? There's a lot of things that we have to look at too. Number one, we're going to have to press against the world, aren't we? The Apostle Paul said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Folks, the world is out here constantly trying to conform us into its mold. It is constantly trying to tell us, this is how you're supposed to dress. These are the things that you're supposed to say. These are the things that you're supposed to do. These are the places that you're supposed to visit. These are the things that you must do if you're going to be accepted in society. No, I don't. If I'm a Christian, I don't have to fit in with the world. I'm going to let the Word of God transform me, and I'm going to be different, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to press against the world. What about temptation, folks? Satan is real, is he not? And Satan is in this world as our enemy, constantly trying to get us to sin and violate the precious will of the Almighty God. The Bible tells us, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Folks, press against the devil. He's going to come. He's going to do battle with you. But you've got to stand toe-to-toe with him and tell him, I will not yield to your temptation. We often talk about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we just stop right there. But Peter didn't stop right there. There's verse 9. He says this, whom therefore resist steadfastly in the faith. Folks, Satan is going to try to influence us. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? He's going to try to get our hearts to be moved away from the Almighty God. But I do not have to yield to one temptation that he puts before me. I've got to stand against and press against as hard as I can in order to be a victor in that battle. Point number three, young people, there's peer pressure out there, isn't it? And you've got to stand against peer pressure. I read an article the other day. It was entitled, A Teacher's Guide to Peer Pressure. Listen to the following things that were targets of peer pressure. Behavior, language, clothing, attitudes, preferences such as music, values, morals or belief, and an overall change producing a completely different person than what is normal. Isn't that amazing? Folks, there are individuals in our world who want to make us something completely different from what we are. And they will do everything they can possibly do to get you to conform to what they look like. And over in the pages of the Bible tells us not to do that, doesn't it? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Numbers 23, verse 2. We turn over to Proverbs, and the Proverbs says this, he that is a companion of wise men is wise, but he that followeth after fools shall be destroyed. Wow, that's a powerful passage, isn't it? It's okay to be a part of a group as long as the group is wise. But the very moment you get into a group of fools, the Bible says you will be destroyed. God is not mocked, the Bible says. Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Folks, the world is going to try to change us. The world is going to put all kinds of pressure against us to do wrong. And what we have to do, we have to press against those forces, don't we? I put this one up because this is something we're finding in our world too. And this is for all of us. We're going to have to start pressing against the crazy ideas that our world is producing today. Now, these ideas have been around for a long time. And sadly, oftentimes, the church, over a long period of time, begins to accept all of those crazy ideas. You can divorce and remarry for any cause. That's a crazy idea that the world has. And sadly, many churches have accepted that idea, haven't they? A crazy idea is homosexuality. It goes against nature. It goes against the very tenets of the Word of the living God. It goes against Genesis chapter 2 when God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Heard that 1,000 times, hadn't you? And yet we've got Adams and Steves running around like crazy all over the United States getting married, don't we? Now it is legal in all 50 states of the United States. If you had told me that 10 years ago, I would have said, no, that won't happen here. And it's lawful now, folks. A crazy idea is for a woman who has a child in her womb to go down to a clinic and have that child surgically removed. That's a crazy idea. And yet women are doing it by the millions in our nation, are they not? It's a crazy idea to think that the only way for you to have fun on the weekends is to go and get bombed out of your mind. It's a crazy idea to me to think that individuals will inject things into their body, drugs, smoke things, rub things all over themselves in order for them to have some kind of a high. That is a crazy idea. Guys, we're going to have to stand against all those crazy ideas, aren't we? We're going to have to press against them. You see, those forces are coming. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And they're getting stronger every day that you and I live. And it's going to take us to press against those forces if we're going to overcome them. If not, they'll overcome us for certain. We've got to press against. Point number 3. You and I must press upward. One man wrote this statement, and I thought it was interesting. The direction of one's push is very important. That's true, isn't it? The direction that you're pushing. We've already talked about having to push the right way, haven't we? There's 3 basic ways that you and I can push. We can push in a subpar way, below standard. We can push in a mediocre way, one that's average, one that's just kind of so-so, one that just kind of gets by, or we can push how? In an excellent way. In a way that is far beyond that which is superior in nature. Giving it our all, everything that we've got, to the best and utmost of our ability. But when you push like that, you've got to push in the right direction. Folks, where are you heading tonight? Really and truly. When you look at your life, as a Christian, where are you heading? The Bible tells us where we need to be heading, doesn't it? Notice these 3 passages. Paul knew where he was going. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because Paul's eyes weren't on this earth. This wasn't the realm that he had his sights upon. He had his sights upon that which was beyond. He saw a goal line that has nothing to do with this world. And he says, every day of my life, every ounce of my energy is pressing toward that mark. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Folks, you and I are not to be consumed with this world. And yet this is where we put most of our time and most of our attention, is it not? It's what becomes important to us. And Paul said, don't do that. If you've really been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's what we're to be seeking every day of our lives. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, while we look not at the things which are on the earth, but at things which are where? In the heavens. For the things on earth are what? Temporal. But the things that are beyond are eternal, folks. That's where my sights need to be. I've got to get my worries and get my eyes off of what's here, and I've got to constantly be seeking those things which are beyond, don't I? It's kind of tough in today's world, isn't it? Because you see, our world today isn't geared toward eternity, is it? And what I'm finding interesting is that even religious groups are no longer geared toward eternal things. Churches want less Bible. Really? Here's the precious Word of the living God. Here's the only divine, eternal message that we have from God to man. And individuals tell me, I want less of that. We have individuals who want shorter lessons. Well, we just can't take 35 minutes. 12 and a half is sufficient. It used to be 20. I don't know what happened to that 7.5 minutes. But somewhere along the way, we've lost 7.5 more minutes. It's unbelievable. Today, individuals have turned the worship service into an entertainment atmosphere, haven't they? Individuals do not go to church in order to worship the Almighty God. They go to church in order to be entertained. Folks, that's not why we're here. The service and what benefits I receive from it are secondary. The primary reason that you and I have come here is to lay ourselves before the throne of the Almighty God and worship His holy and divine name for all that He's done for us. That's why we're here. To give honor and homage and praise to His holy and divine name. But yet we turn it all into a circus in order to please us. We have an atmosphere today that everything has to be about feelings, don't we? Individuals want to walk into a service and feel the Spirit of God, whatever that means. And they want to walk out of a service feeling just wonderful and all pepped up and revved up and ready to go. And if they don't feel those things, then individuals don't want that church. Doesn't matter how much Bible that was preached. Doesn't matter how scriptural the worship service was. We don't want that. You see, we live in a selfish, selfish society that is consumed with this world. And folks, it makes it difficult for us to get our minds focused on the hereafter, doesn't it? That you and I have to constantly make certain that we are pressing upward. Point number four. You and I have to make certain that we are pressing together. There are times when there are like-minded individuals that we can join hand in hand with and work with one another just as hard as we possibly can work. Folks, that's what the church is all about, is it not? We've got way too much infighting in the body of Christ today. We become splinter group after splinter group after splinter group, and for some reason we act as though, even though we're Christians, we can't get along with one another. Folks, that's not the way God designed the church. God designed the church to be a body. And that body is to link together one with another and upbuild itself with each other. The Bible talks about the blessings of being united in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 through 12. It talks about this, how two are better than what? One. He then gives three illustrations in that particular text. Here's what he says. If one falls down and two are together, the other can help him up. If two are together and one of them is cold, guess what? The one can warm the other. That can't be done with just one. Folks, what if you're walking down the street all by yourself and there's an 8-foot giant that stands in your way and is about to attack you? Wouldn't you like to have another person there? I would. And that's his third illustration, that if someone comes against you, it's always better to have two rather than one. And then he concludes with this statement. Remember, we've been talking about two. Now he says this, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Wow. You see, two are great together, but what about three? What about four? What about 50? What about 100? What about 200? Folks, that's what we're all about as Christians, pressing together for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's why God has called for assemblies such as this, for us to come together and realize that we aren't alone, that we aren't by ourselves, that we do have one another to encourage and spur us along in the cause of Christ. Notice, however, we've got to be careful about who we press together with, don't we? Got two examples up there, one by the name of old Rehoboam. He was the son of Solomon. The northern tribes come to Rehoboam after Solomon's death and they say, you need to ease up the taxes on Israel. Rehoboam goes and he asks the old men. Now remember, he could have joined with the old men. The old men said, yes, alleviate the taxes and they'll follow you forever. But Rehoboam goes to the young men. And the young men tell Rehoboam, oh no, you tell those individuals it's going to be even worse than it was in the days of your father. So he ran with the young men and split the kingdom of Israel into two parts, did he not? You see, you got to be careful who you join hands with. Oh, Judas joined hands with a group of individuals, didn't he? The high priests, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees of the day. You want Jesus? I'll get you Jesus. And all it's going to cost you is 30 pieces of silver. And he joined hands and betrayed our Lord to those individuals. And folks, it worked, didn't it? The hands of Judas crucified the precious Son of the living God. You better be careful who you join hands with. This last point is where I'm going to spend just a little bit of time, folks. Sometimes, guess what? We have to press alone, don't we? There are going to be times when you're going to be all by yourself and nobody is going to stand with you. There's numerous illustrations of it in the pages of God's Word. On the night when Jesus was arrested, the Bible says this, and they all forsook him and fled, talking about his disciples. Folks, there they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. All the disciples gathered around Jesus when this mob comes. But when they arrest Jesus, when they start to lead him off to the judgment hall of Caiaphas, they all forsook him and fled. Jesus stood there all by himself on that occasion. We find another illustration in Paul, do we not? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. Go back and read the travels of the Apostle Paul. Go back and read all the individuals that he surrounded himself with. All of those close companions who were with him on his journey. And now he stands in the high court of the Roman Empire and he says, no man would stand with me. Standing there looking in the eyes of Caesar, all alone. Sometimes we'll have to stand alone, folks. But here's some things we need to remember. Many in time past have stood all by their lonesome, haven't they? I've just told you about two examples. What about Elijah on Mount Carmel? Did he stand alone? All of those prophets of Baal calling on the name of their false gods. And Elijah was there all by himself, was he not? And stood victorious over all of the false prophets of that day. Oh, Ahab was about to go into battle on one occasion. And he called all of his false prophets in as well. And guess what? They all said, oh yes, Ahab, you'll win. You'll win. And Micaiah said, oh no, you will not win. The only prophet of God who stood against all the false prophets of Baal, folks, many have stood in times past. Notice point number two. Just because you stand all by yourself does not mean that you are wrong. Now that's the way individuals want you to feel. You stand for the truth, and you stand hard for the truth, and individuals don't want the truth. They'll do everything to make you think you're in the wrong. I can't believe that you would take that position. I don't care what you believe. As long as what I believe is in harmony with the Word of the living God, it makes no difference. Just because I'm alone doesn't mean that I'm wrong. Notice another point. It's better to be alone and right than it is to be with others and be wrong, isn't it? We're constantly trying to tell our kids, be careful who you run with. If you're going to run with a bad crowd, you better off just to what? Stay home. Isn't it better for a young person to stay home all by themselves, be bored to death watching TV, mom and dad asleep on the couch in the front room, than it is to be at a fabulous party where all the drinking and all the drugs are going on, and all of a sudden there's a police raid and all those kids are hauled down to the jail? Where do you want to be, folks? I'd rather be alone and be right than I had to be with all those people and be wrong, hadn't you? So oftentimes we, as the churches of Christ, are a small group, and we look around at all of these religious groups and they're huge, aren't they? 2,000, 3,000, 12,000, 15,000 people, and we think that we're doing something wrong, folks. Just because you're small, just because you stand alone, doesn't mean you're wrong. I'd rather be all by myself and wrong than with tons of others and be wrong, hadn't you? Notice the fourth point. Even when alone, guess what? We're not alone, are we? What did Jesus say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. A while ago we made mention of Paul standing before Caesar. No man stood with me. All men forsook me. Do you know what he said right after that? Nevertheless, Christ was with me. Folks, even though you feel alone, even though there's no human being standing with you, if you're in the right, guess what? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is with us in those times. We may feel alone, but we are not alone, are we? Notice this next one. Alone with God constitutes an unstoppable force. I've given you a passage there, 1 Samuel 14:6. Talking about Jonathan. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come, let us go up against the garrison of these circumcised. For it may be that the Lord will fight for us. For there is no restraint of the Lord to save by many or by, listen to him, few. I tell you what, he had a few force that day, didn't he? Him and his armor bearer, that's it. Just two of us. And we're going to go against this garrison of the Philistines? Yes, why? Because we have God fighting for us. Folks, you and God can be an unstoppable force, can you not? Even though not one other person is with you. I love this next point. Being alone causes a person to stand out in the crowd, doesn't it? 29,035 feet. Just keep that number in mind. I'm going to test you before you leave. No, I'm kidding. 29,035 feet. Keep this second number in mind. 2,717 feet. Here's the third number. 98 feet. 200 tons. What in the world are you talking about, Vic? I'm talking about these three places. Mount Everest, folks. 29,035 feet. The highest peak in all the world. It stands out above all the others, doesn't it? Not another like it. If there's ever a mountain that individuals want to conquer, if there's ever a mountain that an individual wants to climb, if there's ever a mountain that a person wants to talk about, guess which one it is? I'm going to Everest. Why? Because it stands out above all the rest. It's all alone, isn't it? The next one is a building, the Burj Khalifa. Folks, that is the tallest building in all the world, 2,717 feet tall. It's a massive structure. It's all alone as far as its height is concerned. It stands out as the tallest building. And the last one is the Blue Whale, 98 feet long, 200 tons. Try to pick that dude up. There is no other whale as big as the Blue Whale. He stands out above all the rest. When I'm alone, when I stand alone, guess what? I shine above all of the others. We've got to teach our kids that. You know that? Oh, Mom, I'm all by myself. Who cares? You stand out from all the rest. You're different from all the rest. You shine like Everest. You stand as tall as the tallest building in the world. You're as big and powerful as that big mammal known as the blue whale. Don't be ashamed of standing all alone. Folks, if we're going to press on, it's going to take some effort, isn't it? We're going to have to toil. We're going to have to labor. We're going to have to do what it takes, never ever to stop. Let me tell you a story that happened in an event in the Olympics in 1988. It involved two individuals. Oh yes, there were more swimming than that, but two individuals. One of the individuals was a man by the name of Matt Bodie. He was in this 100 meter butterfly and he led the race for the entire race. Down and back, in the front the whole way. He's within 10 feet of finishing. An individual's close to him, but not that close. He just knows that I can win, but he's in the middle of a stroke, so what does he do? He decides, rather than doing one more stroke, I'm going to kick as hard as I possibly can. So he kicks and he kicks. He touches the pad. He comes up out of the water and he's been defeated by 1/100th of a second. We're talking about a gold medal, folks. 1/100th of a second. A man by the name of Anthony Nesty, from an unknown country in the world that had never won a medal, beat the Olympic contender that day. Why? Because he put forth just a little bit more effort at the end. After the race was over, Matthew was being interviewed by all of the newscasters. And he mused over the defeat just a little bit. And he said this, "If only I had grown my fingernails 1/1000th more of an inch long." Fortunately, Matthew didn't let that stop him. He was on the U.S. team. After that defeat, he won 5 gold medals, folks, for the United States. But it will never be forgotten that Anthony Nesty beat the world champion on that one day. Why? Because he just didn't exert enough effort. Folks, what are we talking about? I'm talking about what's on the board. Press on. Press. Keep pressing on. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't look back. Do whatever you've got to do. Why? Because we have a prize that is awaiting us in the hereafter, folks. How sad a day it would be to think that I could have, I should have, but I didn't take that prize when it comes to the end of my life. Wow. There's going to be a lot of folks who miss heaven. And one of the reasons is because they didn't press quite enough. question. How hard are you pressing? Maybe tonight you need to come before God and you need to tell Him, God, I've not been pressing hard enough. In fact, I've looked back quite a bit. I've stopped. And I need to start again. Maybe you've never even begun the race. We want you to do that tonight. If you're not a Christian, won't you put on Christ in the waters of baptism? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How do you get into Christ? By being baptized into Him. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. If you've not done that, we want you to do it tonight. Do you have faith? We confess the name of Jesus, having repented of sins. We can immerse you right now for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll be added to the precious body of Jesus Christ. You need to respond, won't you come, as together we stand and sing.